Welcome back in, Time 1620 of the Zone, 1620thezone.com, and of course the 1620 of the Zone mobile app. You know, Brian tweets at me a fair comment. He says, Nick, agree with your stance on Nebraska basketball and having standards, but what about Creighton? Isn't your standard more than making a tournament? McDermott never make a Sweet 16. Will you address his seat and whether it should be warm? Listen, any sort of hot seat talk with McDermott is the biggest waste of time ever. You guys can try your best and your hardest and all that stuff to make that into a real thing, but it's not, okay? It's just not. And yes, this is the hard part about like with Creighton. And I said this, it's unacceptable that Creighton's never punched through to the Sweet 16. And I've said, like, at some point we could sit here and make excuses about injuries and matchups, all this stuff. At some point you got to overcome that. I talked about a year ago at this time, I turned on the mic when Creighton came home from their loss to Kansas State in the first round. And I said that that was an unacceptable finish to the season. And it is, and even Coach McDermott would say, you know, when you consider from Doug McDermott's squad to last year's team with Khyree Thomas and Marcus Foster, the fact that this team never punched through to the second round or the second weekend of the tournament is a failure. But at the same time, in terms of having standards each year, you know, I think this is the hard part where it's like you can have the standard each year for Creighton should be go to the tournament, but I also think each season you have to assess the team for what it is too. Heading into the year with all the youth and all the inexperience and how much they lost, this was what I expected from this team. I said, and you can check the tape. I said, if this team, to me, going to the NIT, trying to make some noise in the NIT would be a good year. Now, that doesn't mean that that's what I think most years is a good year. It's obviously not. But that's the thing about, obviously, like, for instance, with Nebraska football, is going to a bowl game your minimum standard? No. But you also assess it because of a coaching change, because this and that, like, and the youth and this and changing scheme. Like, there's also things within the season that make you go, okay, well, I need to adjust this. I need to assess that. So that's kind of where I fall on that discussion. So, you know, with the NCAA tournament, it was kind of an uneventful opening weekend in a lot of different ways. Lots of chalk, right? Not a ton of Cinderella stories. There was only one real legit buzzer beater. Pretty good amount of blowouts. Bit of boring tournament in some ways. I've enjoyed the heck out of it because I just love the tournament, right? But you look at the seeds that are still left. In the East region, 1 seed, 2 seed, 3 seed, 4 seed. In the West region, 1 seed, 2 seed, 3 seed, 4 seed. In the Midwest region, 1 seed, 2 seed, 3 seed, 5 seed. In the South, 1 seed, 2 seed, 3 seed, 12 seed. And that 12 seed is Dana Altman's Oregon Ducks, a team that went to the Final Four 2 years ago. Hard to consider them like a Loyola Chicago, you know, like they're far from a Cinderella. When Kenny Wooten is putting his nipples on the rim and blocking shots to the 18th row, I have a hard time being like, boy, how about that Cinderella story? You know what I mean? So it's been chalk so far. And in a weekend that didn't have a ton of drama, oh baby, was last night drama filled. That Duke Central Florida game was the game of the weekend. Wow. First of all, Johnny Dawkins coached a masterpiece. He mixed in some zone, and then in the second half, he decided to basically plant 7'6" Taco Fall right in the middle of the lane. He didn't guard Trey Jones and Delorier and some of those other non-shooters and made life really tough on Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett, because anytime they wanted to penetrate, there was a sequoia tree waiting in the middle of the lane for them. You know what I mean? There was a pine tree fully sprouted waiting at the rim. But man, there were a bunch of things down the stretch that were just huge. And Central Florida had their chances. Man. Again, I watched the final 4 minutes again this morning. Oh. I still think the play of the game was the missed lob in transition by Central Florida with under 2 minutes left. The score was 74-70 with about a minute 50 left. Central Florida gets a two-on-one run out, and they throw a lob, and they miss the dunk. That would have made it 76-70 with about a minute 45 left. In that moment, they either had to convert the lob or chew up 30 seconds off the clock. One of the two things had to happen. And they didn't do either. So they blow a dunk and give the ball right back without chewing any clock. Huge sequence, in my opinion. Because guess what happened on the ensuing possession? Cam Reddish banged a three. You went from maybe being up 76-70 to all of a sudden it's 74-73. And then after two free throws from Central Florida, it's 76-73. Central Florida forces a missed jumper. They couldn't corral the missed rebound. Zion Williamson collects it, shows great poise to not panic and force a bad jumper. He plays to his strengths. He drives into the 7'6" Taco Fall Sequoia tree and gets an and one, and in the process, fouls Taco Fall out. And Taco Fall, like, you look at that play. Taco Fall either needed to give up the two, because you're up three, either give up the two or hammer Zion so we can't even get it up to the rim. Now, it's easy for me to say because I'm not having to deal with a 6'8", 300-pound human being coming at me.
For real.
But at the same time, it's like, damn. The amount of things, it was like they had to miss a lob dunk. They had to not corral a rebound. They had to give up an and one. Like, because then what ends up happening, Zion goes to the free throw line. Central Florida's up one. They got inside position on the free throw. You get the rebound, you likely win. And Central Florida doesn't box out. I mean, R.J. Barrett grabs the offensive rebound, put back, Duke up one. And then Central Florida gets two layups on the final possession that I don't know how they didn't go in, but they didn't go in. Ball game, Duke wins. I mean, wow. When you got a chance to slay Goliath, your margin for error is small.
So small.
A missed block out, a missed layup. Before you know it, you're crying in the locker room while they're celebrating. The offensive rebound on the free throw. I mean, I always laugh. Even now when I'm done playing and even when I was playing, I always laugh when coaches yell at their players during a free throw, "Hey, box out! Box out!" It's like, duh. What, like, that, you should, like, really? Be like, right now, if I just stood on Dodge, I was like, hey, drive! Just keep driving! You know what I mean? Like, right now, if I just went to George, hey, keep breathing! All right? Just keep breathing, all right? It's
in and out.
You know, breathe. It's like, that should be understood. I used to love it. Nick, hey, box out! I'm like, duh. Oh, I thought I could just do the hokey pokey instead. Like, but I guess, I thought it was understood. I guess not. I mean, well, game on the line. You are in the NCAA tournament. You have a chance to beat Duke. You have inside position on a free throw. You know Zion Williamson isn't a great free throw shooter at 65%. And you don't box out. And you know what? The ball goes right to where you would have been if you'd have boxed out. So it hits the rim, goes to R.J. Barrett, he lays it in, ball game. How does that happen? Aubrey Dawkins, who was money all game, but he didn't box out. And listen, I hate to play this card. I really do. I hate to play this card. But to anyone that thinks that that was a sufficient box out from Central Florida, you obviously have never played real basketball.
It was not by any means necessary.
He didn't even make contact, guys.
No, nothing. All you have to do is find somebody, put your butt on it.
I mean, like, do you understand what a box out looks like on a free throw?
Right.
You get low, and then you drive into the guy. Now, go find that. Go watch that replay and tell me Dawkins got low and drove into the legs and the hips of R.J. Barrett. I'm sorry. If if you think that's a sufficient box out, you've never played real basketball. And listen, you could say, oh, Nick, R.J. Barrett pushed off. I mean, he did a bit. But you know what? Box out. Box out. If you get low and drive R.J. Barrett back, the little slight push in the back either doesn't happen or it doesn't matter. Or it's not enough to discard you. But what happens when you don't make contact and stand straight up and down? You're easy to move around with the slightest push. I mean, there was no contact, no box out. So spare me the, he did box out. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. And spare me the, well, R.J. Barrett pushed off. It was a light push. And again, if Dawkins makes contact and that push off doesn't matter. I always put myself in, if I were, I'd have loved in that situation for me to go to Dane Alton and be like, he pushed me. I might not, if I would have been Dane Alton, I might not be alive. You understand that?
And also, if he boxes out, that push-off is an offensive foul.
Yeah, it's more prevalent.
It's more prevalent.
I mean, again, watch. If he boxes out, the ball comes to his chat. Like, if he boxes out, the ball comes to it. Like, it couldn't have been more perfectly right to him. So, I mean, maddening. But, there's a reason they call it March Madness. Because it is madness in every way, shape, and form. And Duke can breathe a sigh of relief. And you know who else can kind of go, whew, CBS. How much was CBS like, oh, no. Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, God, no. We have a code red. I repeat, we have a code red. We have a code red. Duke is going down. I repeat, Duke is going. That would have been a big blow to lose Duke and Zion in the first weekend. But Duke marches on. And you know what? I hope people now see that Duke is beatable. Like, they aren't this juggernaut of a team that can't be touched. Listen, North Dakota State hung around for a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, North Dakota State hung around for a hot second. And Central Florida basically had them beat. Central Florida had them dead to rights. Like, they have flaws. They're not deep. They're not a great shooting team. They can be beat. Don't get me wrong. They're really good. I've told you, I think whoever comes out of that Gonzaga Duke Final Four game is going to win the national title. But I think somewhere along the line, they're like, yeah, I think this Duke team's a mixture of the 96 Bulls, the 85 Bears, and the 1995 Huskers. That's who I think this – it's like not really, okay? They're good. They're not unbeatable. They're not unbeatable. 402-951-1620. All right, Travis, John, Mike, stay right there. We'll get to your phone calls on the other side. Mike Schaefer, 1 hour from now, we'll talk some Husker spring football. After a week off, the boys are back in action. Ver's going to stop by, man this whole thing up at 1:30. How do you not block out, George? I just can't.
I just rewatched it, and I'm just sitting up here like he went for the ball.
George, he didn't even make legitimate contact towards R.J. Barrett.
That was the easiest offensive rebound in R.J. Barrett's life.
Good God. I think it gets worse every time I see it, too. It does. Game time. Bring them out.